Welcome to the Barton's FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and you're listening to The Homeschool Revolution. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. What's going on out there? So we got a little bit of business up front so people don't go through a shock and awe moment. As you know, YouTube decided to suspend Bards FM again, this time for a two-week, put my nose in the corner because I said something really bad. I kind of think I said that Biden was a fake president. Probably said it a lot of times. So they suspended the account, gave it a second strike. Not suspended, but yeah, well, temporarily suspended it. Put me into the Gitmo bad boy corner for 2 weeks. So this is what I've done, and what the decision was made that all the videos from YouTube have been removed. There's no more videos on YouTube. I've took every one of them down. And I'm going through right now, and I'm cleaning up all the community posts. But the main community post that's up right now has all of the times and schedules and locations of where it's going on in Podbean, okay? But I want to remind everybody that we're not just on Podbean. Podbean's the only place that we're live streaming. And over this, and so right now we're also, after each of these shows, once I clean up the live stream and I post it, and usually takes about 15 minutes, it posts onto Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora. It posts onto, or you can even get it in Alexa. Isn't that exciting for you? But you're thrilled about that. iHeartRadio, Player FM, and Listen Notes. Now, I do have a channel over on BitChute, which I'm going to start building up over this next week and try to get all of the podcasts back over on BitChute. I'll be very honest, BitChute drives me crazy because their upload process is like 50-50, was at least 50-50 error rate, meaning you load up a podcast and half the time it doesn't accept it. So we'll see how that goes. I'm also going to be uploading onto Gab TV for those that you are looking. And we're looking into going on to Rumble. So we'll see how Rumble goes. Should have some music for that one. The big event that is coming in about 3 weeks, and it is really moving out, is we'll be launching the Bards FM platform, which is where we will, in a few weeks, where the center point of all of our hosting will be. We will be hosting and streaming out of Bards FM. Okay, and they'll still go to these other places. I'll still stay on here on Podbean. Someone asked me today. Yes, we'll stay on Podbean. No, we won't stream anymore on YouTube. I've kept the channel open because there's 200,000 followers on YouTube. And I don't want to just walk away from those great patriots. So we're going to not be able to do anything for 2 weeks. I took all the videos down because what they're doing right now is they're going back through any of your old product. I mean, like up to, whenever you started. And if they find something that they think violates their current policy, they're just wiping you out. So the answer is goodbye, right? So what I'll do over there is I'm putting together a video, one or a couple different video products that are basically saying the same thing. Get off of YouTube, come join us where the real action is. Because I'm done playing. Updates. If you want updates of what's going on Bards FM, guess what? You'll be shocked at where this is. It's on Gab. Isn't that amazing? If you go to Gab at Bards FM, holy cow, I bet you're stunned. You can find out all the updates. You can find out when the latest podcast is put up if you'd miss it. Yep, it's pretty amazing. I know, stunning. Incredible. Now, another little question has been coming up, and just people have been asking all day, what happened to Storm Dispatch this morning? And I understand why people ask this, because people start to worry that censorship is going on. There's been no censorship on Podbean to their credit. Storm Dispatch this morning, the file was corrupted. It just happens once in a while. And I didn't have a backup recording going at the time. I always do. And this morning, I think I didn't have enough coffee or something. I didn't press the record button. And so I may end up redoing Federalist Paper number 34 tomorrow. So those of you, I don't know, or 35, I guess, whatever the number is. I may redo it tomorrow. We'll see. I'll see if it comes up tonight, if I can figure out how to unscrew it. But otherwise, you'll still get a good show, even if you have to listen to it again. Just consider it like a review for before an exam. How's that? I'm not going to give you an exam, but you can pretend it is, and you'll be like, oh, I really want to go because I love the idea that I get to hear it again because Bards is telling the story again. So you'd be like, oh, this is so excited. I heard it twice now. Now I can really remember it. You know, something like that. You can convince yourself. It's okay. It's all good. But I'm trying to keep so that there, all those are available for Patriots. So that's why I may redo it. And let's see if I have anything else in my notes. I think that's about it. I think we covered it all. Other than the fact that the guy that's acting the president of the United States is a pedophile and likes to sniff little girls. Other than that, I think everything's pretty normal. So that's about it. So what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do very well, and I'll tell you what an incredible group of patriots and what an incredible group of mods and B-dadders out here that are helping spread the message and keeping everybody informed. So greatly appreciate all that. But we're trying to give ourselves as many different outlets that you can find us so that basically when you think you can hide and think you can get away from Bards FM, you can't because we'll find you. You'll like be searching on the web. You'll be like, oh, I think I found, oh, what's this? It's more Bards. It's coming at me. Like, yep, gotcha. But that way there's a lot of avenues and you can find all sorts of good stuff out here coming from the one and only cool spot on the web, which is Bards FM. Now, I know I've also had some questions come up. I just saw it on the board, but I've asked this, and I'm going to answer this because people have said, well, can you call? Zach does a lot of call-ins on Red Pill 78, and I respect what he's doing, but that's not in the plans, just so we know, okay? I know people kind of like that, but that's not in the plans. Our shows are a little different, but I love what Zach does. So if you want to call in, call over to Zach, and he'll take your calls every Saturday night. And he runs a great show. I love Zach. Awesome. And that's another patriot. If you don't follow Zach, get on over there. And also make sure you're following Praying Medic, X22 Report. Haven't seen iPod a lot lately, but I think he's posting over on BitChute. I haven't had time, so I think he's posting on BitChute and Gab TV. And I'm sure there's others. Those are just some of the top ones. To answer another question it's a question that's come up, and I'm not even doing Q&A tonight, and I'm answering questions. All right, that's okay. So Robert Steele, I think everybody's seen him a couple times. He's really big into the child sex trafficking thing. All right. And he's pretty intense. I'm just going to say it. But I want to give this to you. All right. When Robert Steele first came on the scene, and if you listen to the interview I did with Juan O'Savin, you heard me say this, so listen carefully. When Robert Steele came on the scene, Robert David Steele, thank you. When he came on the scene back in 2015 or 2016, he and I talked on the phone a little bit. He's for real, okay? His background's for real. In fact, we know some common folks, all right? As a matter of fact, I think we work for one of the common guys. All right, so just be aware of that. He's a for real dude. Another one that's come up, because I'm going to answer it because it came in email, and I don't want to write an email. I'm just going to put it out here. Apparently there's some little stupid storm going on between a group of patriots and George News. Here's my first words. Knock it off, if you're out there part of that nonsense. Seriously, like knock it off. George News guys have been like rock steady. They have been one of the best base resources for a lot of information. They are for real, no kidding, the deal. I don't know what got into a bunch of patriots to start questioning them or calling them hopium or whatever nonsense that is. George News goes back a lot of years, and they were the collective Q before they ever became George News. The Bloodlines Project. I was on George's chat the other night, and we were chatting back and forth. They're great guys. I love them. I've invited them to come to the Bards Fest, which they told me they would love to, but they don't know that they can. That's what they told me. But anyway, and that's another thing coming up. We don't have a date set, but that we're looking at the end of August for the Bards Fest. But here's the deal. George News did what's called the Bloodline series, the Bloodlines of the Elites. There's 19 parts. It took them 4 years of research to put that together. I downloaded all of them before they had to make it an invisible channel because YouTube was trying to kill them again. So they gave me permission to put them up on the website. They don't restrict any of their content, by the way, and they've said that, but I just wanted to make sure I had special permission from them. So in our knowledge section on the new platform, you'll be able to find all 19 of George's products hosted by Bards FM Cool Guys, and you'll be able to go through those. So I don't know what got into a bunch of patriots because I got this email, and I was just like rolling my eyes. And I decided that rather than be snarky in an email, because it's going to be taking long, I'll just be snarky here online on live stream so you all can hear me say it. Let's not build division. Let's start building bridges, please. Seriously. We're way too late in the game to be pulling the stupid show out between us. We got enough stupid show going on up there in Castle Rock Studios and D.C. and the land of the retards. I'll tell you. We pulled back the curtain like in Alice in Wonderland or in Dorothy and Oz, and we all screamed. We went, oh my goodness, I can't believe the midgets are naked. And that's what we're looking at right now. Holy cow. It's ugly, ugly, ugly. So that's it for the news. And when you get a chance, cruise on over to George News. They do a live chat on YouTube. Say hello. If you get over there, they do it, I think, 3 days a week. They do open a chat. If you're over there, let them know that Bards got suspended for 2 weeks again, just so they know. But anyway, I'll probably be over there too. But anyway, just pop over and say hello. Give them a lot of support. Those guys rock, okay? They really do. They're good folks, and they work hard, hard, hard. And they're also on Telegram too, so that's another good place to catch them. All right, so let's get into the topic tonight, homeschool revolution. So here's the deal. We keep talking about this county by county thing, and it's very important to embrace what we're getting at here, and there's going to be a lot more to come on this. I think I'm going to make this like my central theme for the next week, just so everybody starts to really get it. County by county is the center point of how we're going to take back this country. There's no in-between here. We can't affect this rancid sewer that's up in D.C., and I have nothing nice to say about it. I don't have anything nice to say about any of the Republicans up there that are acting like they're doing something for the country, like by voting against things, when they're not addressing two critical issues on our entire nation. And one is voter integrity, and the second is child sex trafficking and the protection of children at birth and before birth, the protection of young life. Okay, none of that's coming out of their mouth up there. They're all doing the happy dance around wearing a mask while they do presentations to each other and try to stroke their backs and say they're doing a good thing. They're not. As far as I'm concerned, they're all worthless at this point in time until we see one major topic come out of them, a serious initiative plan, not the insurgency plan presented by... let me back up. The only people that have come up with a plan on how to correct the vote in their favor, guess, it's the left. Guess what the right has done? Here, listen to this. Did you hear that? Let me do it again for you. You heard nothing. That's exactly what our leadership on the right has done. Nothing. Nothing to address the screwed up method of voting we have in this nation. So pretty much consider them all worthless. And that's the sewer that's running this country in directly or indirectly. So my point is we can't affect that. We can affect our local communities, and I mean in a big way, too. And if we're going to step into this world where we are truly trying to get back to being a sovereign nation and sovereign people within the nation, there are some things we have to do, and each of us has to be accountable for, or I've got news for you. We aren't getting there. Okay? There's a very powerful place that we have as God's children, and We have yet to fully embrace how much power we have as God's children. If you ever doubt that, ask yourself why they've spent, they, meaning the dark evil, have spent like 10,000 years trying to destroy us. There might be some little clue in there to tell you. Like, maybe, like, we're seriously bad dudes on the street block. Like, we've got God's power in us. You ever think about that? Which is the truth. But we have to start living into that place. And it's not going to happen by us sitting out here waiting for the government to rain down fake fiat money, do you? And waiting for your corporate check to come in the mail and going to the supermarket every day and relying on them to deliver your meals. We have to take accountability for our lives as sovereign individuals in the world because that's what God intended. And if we want a country that's built on In God We Trust, we better start acting like it and we better start living like it. So the principal issues that I always talk about, the two primary pillars that we work to move back this country are faith and knowledge. Because with faith and knowledge, you gain something fantastic. It's called wisdom. Which in D.C. right now, as far as the last time I checked, that reservoir of wisdom was bankrupt. They didn't have any, but that's another subject. So we need to get back to that foundation. So let me go over what I consider to be the five critical action pillars for our county by county program, okay? And this is how we take back our nation. One is mapping out your political county so that you can take political action. And that's localized action that's targeted at specific areas of change in your political structure, your political ecosystem in your county, whether it's a city, whether it's a sheriff, whether it's a mayor, whether it's a councilman, we have, or school board members, let's not forget those communists. They seem to be pervasive everywhere. So political action at a local level. But it's targeted and tailored towards those spaces. Another one that's very important, and we talked about it last night, is establishing a Patriot Garden. What they were used to be, I'm calling it Patriot Gardens. It used to be called Victory Gardens. But it's establishing a garden so that at some measure of your life, you're taking care of a bit of your food. That might be nothing more because you might be living in an apartment. Maybe that's a few tomatoes, or maybe it's some herbs you're growing, but it's the step in taking accountability for what you put into your body. And as we do this in a community level and everybody starts doing this, this creates basically a food revolution to take our control back of our food. All right. So Patriot Gardens, that's the second one. Tonight's topic I'm going to leave for last. Another one we have to do is start getting churches into our homes. I am openly critical of most churches because they've sold their soul to the 501c3 and 30 pieces of silver. Okay, it's disgusting. And we're going to talk about home churches tomorrow night. But that's another one. Another critical one is breaking from the corporate nipple. So what that means is we have to start using our gifts and talents to initiate some things in our life so eventually we can start working on our own and being free from a corporate boss that's telling us what to do. Now, in fairness, not everybody's going to be a sole proprietor. Some people might work for another person, but that's another issue, is to find that sort of employment where you're using your gifts and talents and you're working for an employer that's going to embrace that. And they're going to be walking in that place of faith and knowledge. They're going to have a love for God, not a love for CCP policies. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this. I am so happy we're not streaming on YouTube right now because I can speak truth and not have to gag myself like every other word. And I still got suspended, even though I was trying not to gag myself. I was trying to gag myself, but I didn't because I can't. It's just not possible. So anyway, back to this. So those are your first four. And then there's another one. I mean, the fifth one in this is homeschooling. And this is what we want to focus on tonight. The one thing that I talked about sometime this morning is I really get tired and I am really fatiguing massively. And I'm not the only one because I'm talking to some very influential people right now. And they're very quiet because they're doing some stuff on the backside of all this. But they are getting equally tired. I had this conversation with one individual I know this morning. And we had a mutual, kind of like a mutual complaining session, if you will, of just absolutely getting mentally tired and ear fatigued by all the pontificating nonsense that's coming out of what are supposed to be our country's leaders, and they're giving zero action items to solve things in this country, other than have faith, work hard, press into the fight, and keep going, patriots, and don't lose hope, and let's make sure and vote. Well, how about this? How about if we don't bother to worry about any of that? How about if we start getting action into our local communities and fix stuff? So let's talk about homeschooling. Right now, our schools are completely infected with leftist ideologies. And we have got to make a change on this. One structural change we need to make that will affect things in the long term in the political action side is to get good patriots on school boards. But that is a long process, and I'm not sure we can correct the sewer and the corruption that has happened by the leftist ideologues that have infected it. I want to read from you some excerpts from a article that came out today in the Epoch Times by Dennis Prager, and it's an opinion piece titled, "Most American Schools Are Damaging Your Child." So it starts out with, "More and more schools are being taken over by left-wing ideologues and by non-ideologues who lack the courage to confront the ideologues. Once infected with leftism, the schools teach children to hate reason, traditional America, Christianity, whites, excellence, freedom, and masculinity." That's a long list of hate, but they've done a good job. Continuing, "To cite an example, thanks to a $1 million grant from Bill Gates through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Oregon Education Department has announced that teaching there is one right answer in math, yes, in math, is an expression of white supremacy. Why then would an Oregon parent who cares about his child or her child's mind send that child to an Oregon school?" Continuing with another paragraph, "In addition to perverting education, teachers and their unions have exhibited a contempt for children that has taken even conservatives by surprise. Teachers' unwillingness to show up in class for more than a year is as unscientific as it is unprecedented. On February 3rd, Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, even though they're corrupt, that's my addition, Director Dr. Rachel Walensky, it might not be right, Rochel, looks like Rochel, anyway, it could be a typo, told reporters during a White House news briefing that teachers do not need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 before schools can safely reopen. Quote, "There is increasing data to suggest that schools can safely reopen and that safe reopening does not suggest that teachers need to be vaccinated. Vaccinations of teachers is not a prerequisite for safely reopening schools." That's the end of the pieces I pulled from his article. Again, that was Dennis Prager. Public schools are a disaster. They are an inoculation event to screw up children's minds for the rest of their lives. And the most formative issue is what happens to a child when they are young. And it's something that I don't think enough people pay attention to, nor I don't think parents take enough responsibility of how vulnerable children are to this. Now, I'm going to go over a little bit of history on this whole thing, and it's quite interesting. But I'm going to start with this. That there was, in the 20th century, there was an American education professor by the name of Raymond and Dorothy Moore, who began to research the academic validity of the rapidly growing early childhood education movement. This research included independent studies by other researchers and a review of over 8,000 studies bearing on early childhood education and the physical and mental development of children. They asserted that formal schooling before ages 8 to 12 not only lacked the anticipated effectiveness, but also harmed children. The Moores published their view that formal schooling was damaging young children academically, socially, mentally, and even psychologically. The more is presented evidence that childhood problems such as juvenile delinquency, nearsightedness, increased enrollment of students in special education classes, and behavioral problems were the results of increasingly earlier enrollments of students. That's stunning. Our education system has been designed from the very beginning to be regressive, not progressive. It is designed to suppress kids, and the longer it's gone on, we are suppressing the potential of youth, which is all about dumbing down America. So guess where we end up? A whole bunch of youth walking around here that truly believe, and this is a true study, many of the millennial generation believe that socialism came from social media. Not kidding about that either. That's where we are. That's a good state of things. So let's look at a little bit of history on homeschooling. So for most of history and across different cultures, homeschooling was a common practice by family members and local communities. Enlisting tutors was an option available only to the wealthy. Homeschooling, however, declined in the 19th and 20th centuries with the enactment of compulsory school attendance laws. However, it continued to be practiced in isolated communities. Homeschooling began a resurgence in the 1960s and 1970s with educational reformists dissatisfied with the industrialized education. Boy, when I read that, I think of Pink Floyd, The Wall scene, if you've ever seen that movie, where kids are literally walking on a conveyor belt and falling into a meat grinder. That's about it. Okay, so the earliest public schools in modern Western culture were established during the Reformation with the encouragement of Martin Luther in the German states of Gotha and Thuringia, in 1592 and 1527. From the 1500s to the 1800s, the literacy rate increased until a majority of adults were literate, but development of the literacy rate occurred before the implementation of compulsory attendance and universal education. So once again, a twisted statistic to make everybody believe that compulsory education was actually a benefit. It never really was. The thing is that home education and apprenticeships were kind of the center point all the way through the 1800s. But here's the deal that people forget. In what was referred to as the Land Closures Acts, which began, as I recall, as about the 1700s in England, they began to force people off the land and into the cities. And in forcing them off into the cities, if you've ever seen the play Oliver Twist, that's what it's based on. They were put into these barrios within the cities so that manufacturers could use child labor as one of their ways of keeping labor costs down, because they would break people into poverty and then use children and exploit children. And of course, all of this was creating a mess. And in part of this is non-education. They weren't learning skills. They were learning how to work on an assembly line. And at the same time, they started to force the other children into state-run schools. So I think you can see how that's working out. Basically trying to shape an entire generation and get rid of free thinking. Now, in 1852, Massachusetts was the first state to pass a compulsory universal public education law. In particular, the Massachusetts General Court required every town to create and operate a grammar school. Fines were imposed on parents who did not send their children to school, and the government took the power to take children away from their parents and apprentice them to others if government officials decided that the parents were unfit to have children educated properly. That's straight up tyranny, and it happened in this country, and it happened in 1852. In 1918, Mississippi became the last state to enact a compulsory education law. In 1922, an attempt was made by the voters of Oregon. Oh, we're in the news again. But here, this is a good one, though. This is when Oregon still had some brains before they got Bill Gates money, and they were infected by leftists that took over Portland and Salem and the CCP too. Don't forget that. And that's how we birthed, just like that, with like a magic trick, we birthed Antifa, which is a bunch of brain dead souls walking around here with black hoods. Oh, by the way, the Bard's hoodies are black too, and they're cool. Just selling you. Ha, we'll get Antifa back. Coming at you. Anyway, coming right at you. So in 1922, an attempt was made by the voters of Oregon to enact the Oregon Compulsory Education Act, which would require all children between the ages of 8 and 16 to attend public schools, only leaving exceptions for mentally or physically unfit children exceeding a certain living distance from a state school or having written consent from a county superintendent to receive private instruction. The law was passed by popular vote. Oh, yeah, there you go. So there's a lot of dumb people then in Oregon, too, so don't worry about that. But was later ruled unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in the case Pierce versus Society of Sisters, determining that a child is not a mere creature of the state. Very significant. The case settled the dispute about whether or not private schools had the right to do business and educate within the United States. Obviously, they did. Thank goodness. Before the introduction of compulsory school attendance laws, most children education was done by families and local communities. So it was by the early 19th century, attending a school became the most common means of education in the developed world. Part of the reason for that is as we started to see the industrialization, we had the busier lives. There was a good measure of propaganda in that too, but slowly, children were pushed out of the home into the public schools and subjected to whatever that is. Now, in fairness, what we're really looking at is where this modern school is, because in the early period, if you go back to rural schools, there was still some good education going on. In fact, part of the reason it was good education is they focused on the basics, reading, writing, and arithmetic. They didn't get into this nonsense science. They didn't get into all this crazy political nonsense that we're teaching, and they had a basis of God in their schools and love for country. So there was some really good public education going on, but as we progressed into the latter part of the 50s, and then we got into the corruption of the Marxist virus that came in here, it started in the 60s with good people like the Weathermen, for example, or SBLA, or other great groups that try to like blow things up, kill people, hate white people, that sort of neat stuff. The hippies that didn't know, that taught the world how to forget to bathe. You know, little things like that. Real good benefits to society, by the way. When we got into that era, then people began to really question the efficacy of public schools, and rightfully so, because these same people were now starting to take in positions of teaching and trying to teach children to literally hate the country they were in. That was the beginning of the Marxist Revolution. It's obviously more complex than that, but that's like a quick Bard's overview. That's your Bard's Reader's Digest version right there. And whenever you think about that, whenever you think of the Bard's Reader's Digest version of the commie takeover, just think of hippies not taking a bath. And you're like, oh, I got it. It's all there. That's it. Pretty much. So the thing is that homeschooling has remained under attack by the institution, and rightfully so, because homeschoolers almost always outperform those coming from the public school. So you can expect, as always happens, that the state is going to attack homeschoolers. And one of the things they love to say always is they love to talk about, like, well, you know, homeschoolers, they don't perform as well. That's not true. Okay. In spring of 2019 in the U.S., grade 12 K to 12 students constituted 2.5 million children in our country who opted for homeschooling. So that rate increases at approximately 2 to 8% per year, which is fantastic. What we learn is that when we get to college statistics, and this is rather amazing, almost all homeschoolers outperform public school students on the two critical placement exams for university, which is the ACT, ACT, and the SAT. Now, one of the other big issues, and I even hear this from people that homeschool, is the concern for socialization. But it doesn't prove true. It's a parental concern. And when it happens, the thing is, parents are far greater at solving the problem than the prisons of public schools. Kids don't get a good socialization experience in public schools. And for the most part, especially with the way it is now, they're indoctrinated into this version of racial hate. They're always indoctrinated into some version of hate your parents. Hate always, don't always remember this one. Hate God is right at the center of it.
Hate Country. It's another one. They don't get a good socializing experience. But parents always solve the problems. Let's just look at the statistics just to see, okay? So this is a 2003 survey of the National Home Education Research Institute conducted a survey of 7,300 U.S. adults who had been homeschooled. 5,000 of these for more than 7 years. And this is what the findings found. Homeschool graduates are active and involved in their communities. 71% participate in an ongoing community service activity, like coaching a sports team, volunteering at a school, or working with a church or neighborhood association, compared with 37% of U.S. adults of similar ages from traditional public education backgrounds. Homeschool graduates, and that's a difference of 40%, all right, roughly. That's huge. Homeschool graduates are more involved in civic affairs and vote in much higher percentages than their peers. 76% of those surveyed between the ages of 18 and 24 voted within the first 5 years, compared to only 29% of the corresponding U.S. populace. That's stunning. Now you're starting to see where I'm getting, aren't you? You're starting to see the conclusions here of why homeschooling is one of the critical nodes in the county-by-county program of taking back our nation. 58.9% report that they were very happy with life, compared with 27.6% from general U.S. population. 73.2% found life exciting, compared to 47%. So the whole point of this is socialization is one of the most, probably one of the critical issues for youth, is feeling comfortable, feeling loved, and being inspired to push into the future. Homeschoolers exceed the national average of the public school by 40 to 50% every time. That is a stunning statistic. And it speaks to the success of the parents. It speaks to the wonders of the home and the safety of the home. And it speaks to the love of family in reinforcing children. And, of course, one of the critical things about having a successful homeschooling program is the fact that in the sense of faith and love for country, the children get it. Now, one of the problems we're having right now, and seeing, is in the COVID environment, public institutions have decided to outsource some of their education, and with it, they've come all those nonsense values, all right? So parents need to be involved in that and be attentive to some of the corrupted values that kids are being taught by these centralized, quote-unquote, homeschooling resources. Because you don't bring your kid home to homeschool to have him learn, him or her learn about how they need to hate America again. That's not part of who we are. All right. Now, there is a resource, and I'm going to give it A-plus for a cost and for the certain types of programs they offer. I'm going to give it a C on some of their stuff, and because it's an individual-based thing for burying their nose into stupid politics, but overall, really good resource for homeschooling. And that's Udemy. And I don't know if you've heard of them before. They're Udemy. And if you watch their sales on programs you can buy, they're always doing sales from like $150 down to $10, meaning like they drop the price from $150 down to $10. And if you watch these sales, you can get a bunch of programs. And it's a very good user interface for teaching the kids because it's self-guided. They're seeing an instructor. There's a way to take notes as they go along. There's always some form of interaction. And this is how we truly help our kids because we can use the distance learning aspect detached from this institutionalized nonsense. And the great thing about Udemy is you can just choose your instructors. You go through and decide what courses you want. They do a lot of stuff related to arts, meaning like music instruction, arts, a ton of stuff on computer programming. I've used it a lot for studying techniques on like Logic Pro X, which is an audio engineering program. Really good. So I'd highly recommend it as a place to look at. It's affordable. But let me just list some of the things that they list. They have 9 benefits of homeschooling. And they say, you know, homeschooling provides several benefits and opportunities that public schools don't provide. And here's their top nine. One is tailored instruction, which is absolutely true. You as a parent know your child better than anybody else. And in doing that, what's going to happen in that is the ability for you to tailor education to your child's interests. And when a child's inspired, you know, there's some different theories in education, but one of them is to work on a subject. When I homeschooled my two adopted boys years ago, I would use a central topic. Like, for example, I would take math and I would start teaching math through a process of history. So through math, I would teach history, art, science, everything would branch off. Or I would go to, say, I would take a book, we'd maybe do a focus on literature. One theme we did was dinosaurs. But in the process of this, you can take in so many different realms. Like if you're doing history, or say you're doing literature, you can bring in the science of the era, you can bring in the math of the era. There's all sorts of things that work. And so, I mean, I'm not just talking here, because I've done it. I did it for 2 years, and it was massively successful, just letting you know. Okay, I'm a huge believer in homeschooling. All right, so tailored instruction is a big one. Choosing your child's curriculum, another really good one, meaning you can like ditch the BLM, hate America, love racism nonsense that the left is trying to ram down your child's throat. Unbelievable. Anyway, next is flexible learning. Excuse me a minute. Flexible learning schedule and environment. This is really important. And the flexible learning in a learning schedule and environment, a child's sleep habits are different, as we know. Oh, anybody has a teenager knows, holy cow. But the point is that you can adapt. Many times they like to stay up late and sleep in. You can adapt that schedule to them and still maintain that. You don't have to force them to get up at certain times. There's an ability to have breaks during the day. So it's basically what you're waging is unconventional warfare on the institution, which is great, by the way. You can deal with experimental learning. So you can try different in learning approaches that work with your kids. And you can do that in such a great way that helps them adapt to different times. I mean, different times, there's different stresses, there's different interests. You can adapt your education system to that and try different things. One of the things we tried for a while, I was a martial arts instructor, so I included martial arts as a part of the instruction for a period of time, and it was very, very effective. It's just breaking things up. Independent thinking and character formation. This is one of their. This is number five on the Udemy list. No kidding. You're teaching them how to think for themselves, and there is nothing more important. Nothing more important than free thought. We don't need to have groupthink. And in the process, they are able to develop their character and do it safely without having to have peer review every single time because they didn't conform to the latest trend in social Marxist hate ideology, right? Another one is closer family relationships. It is testing and trying for the family. On one hand, it is brilliant in building family bonds. What an amazing experience when you as a parent are involved in them. And for those of you that homeschool, know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it's two challenges. It's the one challenge of doing it. Some days you're like, oh, not again. But the benefits that you get out of it are absolutely phenomenal. The social benefits we went through. Kids are not in a place where they're not socially inclined or integrated. They're highly integrated because there's opportunities to get them involved in different things. Whether it's school sports, well, public sports, not school sports. Maybe it's doing events like one person I know did a lot of travel and took their school on the road, okay, and they taught their children. They would make their whole travel experience the part of their education. So they would plan the trip around historic sites and so forth. I mean, there's so many different ways. And in doing so, integrate with other people. And then we already heard about the community service aspect. There's other ways to integrate. And especially in this mask-laden environment, these are important because you can keep the child away from or your child away from the gag and keep them understanding how ridiculous that is. There's also this benefit, which is true, which is learning with your child. Man, was I pushed. And it was in a great way. You push yourself. You push yourself to such a degree of learning with them, you expand your horizons, and it's a wonderful experience because you're both learning together, and always the child will teach you back, you know that. And then the other thing is just academic excellence. It always proves that what you're going to do in homeschooling your child is they will excel and exceed everyone, all the other public school kids. They'll do it every time, And it's just knowing that they have got a great education. So there's your top nine. Patriots, I'm pushing this hard, and it's going to be part of an increasing push on the county-by-county program. Some of our leadership in the county-by-county program is already involved heavily in homeschooling, and that's a wonderful thing. We believe heavily in it as a team, and we believe heavily in it as a platform. The most important thing is we have to get our children back to a place where they have great educations, free thought, love for God, and love for country. Okay, and do it at a local level to where what they see actually has real results. And I mentioned this last night, but don't forget the integration. Like when all of these pieces integrate. So when we go back to that list, as I kind of wrap this up, when we talk about political action, your child is involved in it. When we talk about home churches, your child is involved in it. When we talk about Patriot Gardens, your child is involved in it. When you start to develop means to supplement or lead your income as a independent business person, your child is involved with it. All incredible examples that allow them to step into the world and literally lead this world rather than follow it like the Marxist sheep that seem to be roaming around here in mass lately. So I want to leave you with some thoughts. I'm going to read you something from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's article that she put up, I believe, day before yesterday. And I want you to reflect on these things here. Now, by the way, her interview, I think what I'm going to do tomorrow night is just play her interview here. You can hear it. I'm going to do a two-hour block tomorrow night. You're going to hear the whole thing. So, if you don't get a chance to hear it all, we're going to do 2 hours next tomorrow night, same time, Bards FM, same time. We're going to do 2 hours. And I'll probably, what I'll try to do, we'll take a break maybe for a few minutes so I can post one up, and then we'll do it next, or I'll do something. But anyway, 2 hours tomorrow night, just plan on that, of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And that way you can hear it, and then it's going to be available in two parts, okay? But I want you to reflect on what she says here. Remember that Jesus showed love and honor to his Father through righteous indignation. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, saying, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." And then she asked these questions. Where is the righteous indignation towards pastors, towards those who would keep you from fellowship halls? Where is the righteous indignation of parents towards those who would ask you to torture your children by keeping them locked in a room in solitary confinement because they have been exposed to a virus? Where is the righteous indignation towards governments and employers who would require you to be injected with an experimental deadly genetic modification technology to keep your job so that you can feed your family? We need to be driven by righteous indignation. And in the end, and what we're talking about tonight, is that righteous indignation better be boiling at a family level when you start to realize what they're doing to your kids. Our role, our greatest responsibility that God has ever given us, is to protect the innocent and, most importantly, protect the children who are His, and we are given the right to steward them. Homeschooling. Patriots, homeschooling, it is where it's at. It's what the way ahead is. It is how we take back our control. It's how we foster leadership for this nation. It's how we rebuild this country from bottom up by instilling those values in the youth and teaching them to be strong, to be bold, and to be able to face this infection that's happened in our country. And that's all centers on what we do in our house, in our home, in our neighborhoods, in our local community, county by county. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have come together to share the insight and blessings that you give us each day, to reflect deeply on the role of stewarding and parenting our children, to give them opportunities that are outside of the institutions of hate and division. Lord, we know that not all parents are in the role or position to be able to take the full time to homeschool their children, so we also pray for the building of community, so that parents can begin to trust in local communities, come together, work together, and share that responsibility to do as it was in old, to revitalize that importance of nurturing children on the foundation of "In God We Trust," love for country, and most importantly, standing with you in a true walk of faith. May we honor you in that role. May we be blessed in this mission. And may you guide us in this way ahead to constantly keep a pressure to defy the institutions of compliance and to embrace the life of sovereignty and liberty under your wings. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Okay, Patriots, the challenge is on. If we have time to help others, let's do it. If you have time to homeschool your child, please do it. This is time to start breaking the control of the cabal. I'll be back at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Always press into the fight. Never relent. This fight is a fight for the soul of the nation and the soul of the world. Keep your prayers up. Inspire the youth. That is the greatest gift we can do, is to inspire the youth. Live the talk. Don't just say it. Walk it. Remember that God is always with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. Let us be at his side. So until tonight or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.